invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ruth. We will read chapters 1 and 2, and then when comes time for our deacon brethren to read, they can read chapters 3 and 4. Now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. They said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and also bear sons, would you tarry for them until they were grown? Would you stay from having husbands? Nay, my daughter, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God. Where thou diest, I will die. There I will be buried. And the Lord do so to me more also, if aught put death part between thee and me." And she, Naomi, saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. So she left speaking unto her. So the two went till they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were in Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, saying, the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" And Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which turned out of the country of Moab and came into Bethlehem in the beginning of the harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Go to the field and glean the ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went. And she came to the reapers, and her hap was to lie on the part of the field that belonged unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with thee, the Lord be with you." And they said unto him, "The Lord bless thee." And Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was over the reapers answered and said, "This is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarry a little in the house. And Boaz said unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has only been shown unto me that thou hast what thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not hereof too. And the Lord recompense thy work with a full reward, and be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing thou art come to trust. And she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken freely unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou thither and eat bread, and dip thy morsel in vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field at the even, and beat out all that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she received after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And what wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she shewed unto her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, His name whom I wrought this day is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is a near kin unto us, one of our kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz at the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law.
Brother David has asked that we read Ruth 3 and 4. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be that when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art my near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. Held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said unto me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and he sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said to the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it, therefore, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, nor my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner of the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. And therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were at the gate, the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whose Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David.
Are you looking forward to the new Jerusalem? I am. I'm looking forward not really because of the gates of pearl, not really because of the streets of gold, not really because of the foundations made with all the precious stone. And I'm looking forward to the new Jerusalem because that city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is a light thereof. And another reason I'm looking forward to it is in chapter 22, verse 4, they shall see his face. In the very presence of our Jesus. In the New Jerusalem. Are you looking forward to it? I hope you are. Thank you, Brother Wes, for that. This morning, we're going to look at this book of Ruth. We're going to sing 328. When this was written, it was in the time of harvest. And back in Israel, when the harvest was going on and there was a plenteous harvest, there was joy, there was singing, and there was thanksgiving. That's why we have chose this hymn. The God of harvest praise, in loud thanksgiving raise, heart, hand, and voice. The valleys laugh and sing, the forest and mountains ring, the plains their tribute bring, the streams rejoice. We're just going to go through this book of Ruth. We're not going to be able to dig really deep into it, but it is a fascinating account that happened about 3,300 years before Christ. And in the first verse, it just simply tells us that it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and Ruth is right after the book of Judges. If you read that book, it was a dark time for Israel. It was a bloody time for Israel. You read through it, and the last verse of that book just gives us an indication why it was that way. And it just simply said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And nothing can go well when that happens. That's the book of Judges. They fought each other. They didn't get along. And all kinds of, they had wars among themselves, and it was just a bloody time. But right in the middle of that time, this happened right here. And it says, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So that might have been one of God, the people there forsook God, and they turned to idols, and maybe that was a result of maybe God's punishment was a famine in the land. And it was around Bethlehem. And there was a man there named Elimelech, and he had his wife, and he had his two sons, and they must have been not being able to get food. So they went down unto Moab. We want to look at that for just a moment. First of all, that word, we want to give you some definitions of some words. Bethlehem, that simply means the house of bread. And it says Bethlehem, Judea, and Judea means praise. So they lived in a house of bread and praise. That was Bethlehem. Where they were, that was where they lived. And where did they go? They went to Moab. Moab was the name of the son of Lot's oldest daughter. And in Moab, they worshipped idols, they worshipped Baal, and they worshipped Chemosh. And you want to know what God thought about Moab? Let's turn to Psalm 60. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 60, verse 8, it just simply says that Moab is my worst pot. That's what God thought of Moab. It was his worst pot. You go to Psalm 108, verse 9, he says the same thing. Moab is my worst pot. Now, if you take a pot of water and you take some old, dirty, filthy, nasty, grummy, grimy clothes and you put it in that water and you clean them, you pull them out, dirty, grimy, nasty water. Disgusting. That's what God thought of Moab. Moab's my worst pot. It's a disgusting place. It's a place where they worship idols. You can read back more about Moab. They did other things there too. That's what God thought about Moab. That's where they was going. They was leaving the house of bread and praise and going to Moab, the worst pot. And this was and his wife Naomi and his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. I looked him them boys' names up, and I kind of wondered why they were called that. Mahlon means to be weak, and Chilion means to be pining away or puny. I don't know if when these boys were born, they were small and weak or whatever, but I guess if you want to call them, you can call them weak and puny. I mean, that's the way they were, and then they went to Moab, and they continued there. His husband died. She was left with her two sons. Now, I don't know how long they was in Moab when Elimelech died. It does not tell us, but I don't think they were there very long. Just my opinion on that. She was left with her two sons. In verse 4, it says, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. One was named Orpah, and the other one was named Ruth, and they dwelt there 10 years. They took them wives. They went against the Mosaic law. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 3, and it says, God's people are not to marry those from outside. And so these boys were down in Moab, and they married women from there. So that was against the Mosaic law. And it took them wives, and it said they dwelt there about 10 years. So it says, and Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, in verse 5. So I don't know if they had been married 10 years. I don't know if they lived there 3 or 4 years, and then them boys got married, and there was another 5 or 6 years. I don't know how close together they died. It says they both died. So here's Naomi in Moab with her two daughter-in-laws. And in verse 6, she heard in Moab that back up there in Bethlehem, they was having harvest again. It had rained, land had produced, and she says, let's go. Verse 7, she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way unto the land of Judah. And then it says in verse 8, she said unto her daughters-in-law, she says, go return each to your mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead. So she is saying is, you need to go back. You need to go back home. You need to go back where you came from. And I think there's a reason she was saying that is if you go with me up into Bethlehem, if you go up there, you're going to be looked down upon. You're not going to be accepted. I don't have anything. You're going to live in poverty, and you'll probably never be married. So you just need to go on back home. And she says there's a reason you need to go back home. In verse 9, the Lord grant that you may find peace, that you may find rest. That word rest there means marriage. That you may go back home, and there you may find marriage, and you be in the house of your husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. You know, that would be kind of a hard thing, telling your daughter-in-laws, go back there, you'll be better off back there. I'm going to go back here. And so they wept. But the daughter-in-laws in verse 10 said, no, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. And we go into verse 11, and Naomi said, no, you can't go with me. And I'll tell you why you can't go with me. She says, are there yet any more sons in my womb? In other words, when she was saying that for you to marry up there, you would have to marry another one of my sons. She says, I'm an old woman. I can't have any more children. I can't have any more sons. Verse 12, she says, turn again and go back. I'm too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, or if that would happen to happen, if I should have a husband, also to 9 bear sons, she said, would you wait on them? You know, these girls, maybe they were 16, 17 when they were married. I don't know. And they've been married 7 or 8 years. They were 22, 23. She says, would you wait on them? No, they wouldn't wait on them. Would you tarry for them until they are grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? She says, no, you wouldn't. Nay, my daughters, we're in verse 13. It grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out with me. And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. So now comes decision time. What are we going to do? Are we going to go back to the house of bread and praise? We're going to go with Naomi to the house of bread and praise? Or are we going to stay in Moab, the worst pot? You know, that's a decision. That's a decision each one of us has to make. We're going to say Moab's the world. We know what Bethlehem is. The house of worship and the house of praise. So what's your choice going to be? You're at the wind of the road. It's one way or the other. And we have an example of both choices right here. It says in Orpha, kissed her mother-in-law, and it says in verse 15, Orpha says unto Ruth, thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. So Orpha went back to her people, and she went back to her gods. Dead gods. The god of Baal and the god of Chemosh. That's where she went. She went back to the world. She turned around and went back. The choice is ours today. Which way are you going to go? Sometimes it's a choice we have to make every day. When something comes in our life, how God? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What's going to happen here? Are you going to the house of bread and praise, or are you going back to the worst pot of Moab? It's a decision that they made. Orpha went back and Ruth stayed. And in verse 15, Naomi said, return after thy sister-in-law. Ruth, you go back too. But Ruth said, no. Ruth made a commitment. And in her commitment, she made 7 statements. And 7 in scripture means completeness. Now, this is a complete conversion. Let's read about it. Number 1, entreat me not to leave thee. Ruth said, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving you. It's not going to happen. Number 2, for whither thou go, I will go. Number 3, where you lodge, I will lodge. Number 4, your people will be my people. Number 5, your God will be my God. Number 6, where you die, I will die. Then number seven caps the whole thing off. Ruth was used to worshiping a God, not a living God. But here she makes a decision. What is that decision is? She says, she calls him Lord. Now there's a difference. She knew who God was, but when she called him Lord, what did that do? That revealed a Lord means Jehovah. That revealed a personal commitment and relationship that she wanted to have with the Lord God of Naomi. That was her desire. That was where she wanted to be. That was where she wanted to go. I don't care if I'm not accepted. I don't care if I'm looked down upon. I don't care if I don't have a husband. I don't care if I live in poverty. This is my choice. This is my decision, and I am going to stand by it. The reason we know that is, verse 18, when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded, she was going to stand by that decision to go with her, she left. Then she left speaking to her. In other words, she didn't say anything more about it. In other words, she said, let's go. Come on. That's your mind. Let's go. So they went till they came to Bethlehem. And when they came into Bethlehem, so the whole city was moved. You know, I think when they kind of, maybe they got close to Bethlehem, someone saw and said, is that Naomi? I mean, it's been 10 years. That's Naomi. And they ran and they told this person and this person told this. You think we're fast on text? I think they did just like that. That whole city was moved, it said. I don't know how many was there, but this is Naomi. She's coming back. Where's her husband? Where's her son? And that's why she says, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. Now listen to this. I went out full, but I came back empty. She went out full. She left the house. She left the house of bread and praise. She said she went out full. And she went to Moab, the wash pot, and she came back empty. She came back empty. When you're in the world, you're empty. I don't care what your bank account says, how many millions is in it. I don't care how much stuff you have. I don't care how many things you have. If you're in the world, you are empty. There is a stay, there is a place within your soul without Jesus Christ that it is empty. She went out full, she came back empty. Don't go to Moab. And it says, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter with her, her daughter-in-law with her, and turned out of the country of Moab and came into Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So this would have been probably about the end of April, the 1st of May. The barley harvest was first, then the wheat harvest was second. Now we come into chapter 2, and the first verse of chapter 2, it just kind of puts something out there for us to begin thinking about. It says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And that word kinsman there means a relative. She had a relative of her husband, and it says a mighty man. Look that word Boaz up. In the Hebrew, it means one with strength and one who is wealthy. So he was named right. And he was of the family of Elimelech. I don't know where he was in the relation line. Maybe Elimelech was an uncle or something. I don't know. But he was related to him. And his name was Boaz. Now, as we go through here, we're going to say that Boaz was a type of Jesus Christ. And I hope as we go through here, we're going to pull out and show you what we mean by that. The similarities and the resemblance of the two together. So this is Boaz. It just simply come out that first verse, and it says, he had some relation. He was a mighty man of wealth. He was from the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Then we get back into what was happening there. So it's the beginning of the barley harvest, verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go into the field and glean the ears of corn after him in whose sight I find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. So Okay, here is two very poor people. They came out of Moab with nothing. And the barley harvest was starting, and Ruth says to her mother-in-law, she says, let me go glean, which was part of the Levitical law. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 19. This is what God told them people there. We'll read verses 9 and 10. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And then he goes on and he says in verse 10, thou shalt not glean the vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So God told them people, he says, when you go out to harvest, you leave the corners for the poor people to come and glean off them corners so they have something to eat. Now let's go to verses 22 and 23. No, I'm sorry, chapter 23, verse 22. Leviticus 23:22. He says here, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So he's basically telling them again what they are to do. We want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. This was God's instructions to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19. He says, when thou cuttest down thy harvest in the field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again and fetch it. In other words, when you've harvested it, and you have all these sheaves in the field, and you gathered your sheaves up, and you're walking out the field, and you look back, and there's a sheaf, and over there's a sheaf, he says, don't go get it. You leave it there. You leave it there. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. Then he goes on, he talks about the olive and the grape. But he says, you leave it there. Don't go back and get it. You leave it there. And this here is what Ruth, maybe Naomi told her this, but she was going out into the field to the corners, and maybe, just maybe, there might be a sheaf left. Let's make it a little bit easier. A little bit easier. Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Now this is interesting. And her hap was to lie on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech. That word hap and that word light, that means to be by chance or to happen so. Do you believe anything happens by chance? Do you believe she just happened to go in Boaz's field? I don't know. Maybe she was walking down the road and she looked over to that field and there was a couple reapers over there. There was a couple gleaners, people gleaning that field. Maybe she looked over here at this field. Maybe there was some gleaning in this field. She looked up here at this field and there was nobody gleaning there. I'll go to that field. Was it chance? Did it just happen? I don't think so. God's in control of all things. That's the way it's written. I think she just looked around and took into consideration everything she's seen, and she thought, you know, maybe them reapers over there looked a little nicer. Maybe they didn't look quite as gruff. Maybe I'll just go to that field. The maidens picking up and doing the sheaves, maybe would fit my style a little bit. Maybe I'll just go to that field. I don't know. But that's where she ended up. And I think it was the work of God. So she ended up in the field belonging to Boaz. And in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. So Boaz was in Bethlehem. His reapers was out there cutting down the barley. And the maids were putting it in the sheaves. That's what the men cut it. The maids put it in the sheaves. We'll see down here a little bit later. And he walks into his field. And this here tells us the relationship that Boaz had with his workers or his employees. He walks in the field and he says to the reapers, the Lord be with you. Or how's it going? The Lord be with you. It's going good. He come out of Bethlehem. He's checking out his field. How's it doing? Is it doing okay? What's the crop like? Back in Ohio, we'd say, how many bushels are you making per acre? Is it good? Well, this little guy over here, he's made this many bushels per acre. This guy, well, we'll pound average or whatever. But Boaz came to check it out. And he said, the Lord be with you. And his employees answered, and he says, the Lord bless thee. I think he had a good relationship with his employees. And then verse 5, and Boaz said unto his servant who had set over the reapers, or probably the foreman, we would call him a foreman today. He said unto the foreman, he said, who is that girl? Over there. That one right over there. Who is that damsel? Who is that maiden? Damsel means young woman or maid. Who is that? Who is that right over there? And right over there, she was sitting in a shelter at that moment. We'll get to that in a moment. Who is she? Verse 6, and the foreman said, well, it's that Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she came up to me, and she asked me if she could reap in this field. Verse 7, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And she came, and I couldn't say no. Because that's part of what God has commanded. So she went to the corner and she's reaping. And she's been there from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. That word house means a shelter. And I think probably what happened there on them hills, the sun was hot. And so they probably had a tent. And when people got hot, they'd go in and out of the sun, rest for a little bit. Then they go, was sitting there in the house or in the shelter. Now we're going to read the next two verses, then we're going to come back. And Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. That's where the maidens, they're the ones that gathered up. After it was cut, they gathered it up, and they put them in the sheaves. Let thine eyes, he says, be on the field where they do reap. In other words, you follow them around and go after them. Have I not charged young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. Now we said that Boaz was a type of Christ. And so Boaz did three things here for Ruth. He did three things here for Ruth. The first thing that he did for Ruth was he provided a place of rest. There was a shelter there. There was a place where she could go when she got hot, where she could sit down, where she could be out of the sun, and where she could rest. That's the first thing that Boaz provided for her. What did Jesus say? He says, come unto me, all that are labor, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we're tired. When we're struggling, when we don't know which way to go, when we don't know which way to turn, he says, come, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. I'll give you a place to sit. I'll give you rest. That's the first thing that Boaz did. He provided rest for her. The second thing that Boaz did, provided her with protection. He provided her with protection. What did he say? He says, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? I think Boaz told them, young men, don't touch that girl. You leave her alone. Don't touch her. He provided protection for her. You go to Psalm 91, verse 4, and it says, he shall cover thee with his fingers, with his feathers. Under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth is thy shield and thy buckler. We are protected. There's a hedge around us. God protects his people. Boaz protected Naomi. God protects you and I. The third thing that he did, he provided nourishment for her. What does he say here? He says, when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink that. In verse 9, we go to verse 14. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou thither and eat of the bread. He gave her nourishment. I don't know if Ruth took anything with her to eat in that field or not. But Boaz provided her nourishment. What does Jesus do? What did Jesus tell a woman at the well? He says, you drink this water, you're going to be thirsty again. But I give you living water. I give you living water. What does he say in Saints John chapter 6, verse 35? I am the bread of life, Jesus says. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He will provide nourishment. We have it, brothers and sisters. It's right here in our hands. So many times we go starving. He provided a rest. He provided her protection, and he provided her nourishment. Verse 10, and Ruth fell down on her face and bowed herself into the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I'm a stranger? Ruth said, what have I done to deserve this? What have I done? I'm a stranger here. What have I done to deserve this? Brothers and sisters, what have we done to deserve this? What have you done? Nothing. Nothing. What have we done that Jesus should take knowledge of us? Zero. Nothing. We are strangers. We're not of that commonwealth of Israel. We're Gentiles. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does the Apostle Paul say? For God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We should be just like Ruth. Why? Brothers and sisters, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy that he pours down upon us. That's why. That is why. Verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother in the land of thy nativity. Thou art come to a people which thou knowest not heretofore. And then he blesses her. The Lord recompense thy work. For the Lord bless thee with a full reward, be giving thee of the Lord God of Israel. And then he tells her this, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He looked at Naomi, or not Naomi, but he looked at Ruth, and he seen her commitment to the Lord by what she had done in the past. This girl had to be committed, or she'd have never left Moab. And then Ruth said in verse 13, she says, let me find favor in thy sight, or let me find grace, or let me find acceptance in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. For thou hast spoken freely unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thy handmaidens. She says, I'm not like your people. I'm different. I come from a different place. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner here. But she said, thou hast spoken freely to me, and this is another thing that Boaz does, that our Lord does. He says, thou hast comforted me. Thou hast comforted me. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. Where do you get your most comfort? I can try to help you. I can encourage you. I can try to lift you up, but your most comfort comes from the Lord. If you just place yourself in his hands. That's what Ruth did here. She says, can I find acceptance? Can I find grace in your sight? Verses 14. Mealtime comes and Boaz says, hey, You sat right here with my people. You sat right here with the reapers. And you eat bread. You dip your morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he, Boaz, gave her parched corn. Nobody else did it. Boaz fed her. Boaz fed her. Who feeds us? Spiritual food. Boaz fed her. And 15, verse 15, when she's risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. There's that protection again. He says, let her glean, reproach her not. And let some fall of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean, and rebuke her not. So he's protecting her again. Verse 17, she gleaned in the field in the even, and then she beat out the barley, and it says she had about one ephah of barley. You know, that's 3/4 of a bushel. An ephah equals 3/4 of a bushel. That's about 36 pounds of barley. I don't think anybody ever gleaned one day, ever got 36 pounds of barley. I think that was the first time. First time that ever happened. She went back home to Naomi, it says here, and she gave it to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was surprised, and she says, where did you glean today? 36 pounds. That's going to last us for a while. Where did you glean today? Where wroughtest thou? Then she says, blessed is he that take knowledge of thee. And she told her mother-in-law, it was a man named Boaz. That's where I gleaned, in his fields. A man named Boaz. What did Naomi say? She said, blessed, verse 20, blessed be he of the Lord, who have not left off his kindness to the living or the dead. And Naomi said unto her, this man is in your kindred of our next kinsman. And that word kinsman there means to be a redeemer, or one who purchases, or one who buys back. It's a different Hebrew word than in verse 1. Verse 1 means a relative. Verse 20 means he's a redeemer. He's a kinsman redeemer. He's one who purchases. A redeemer is one who buys back. Brother West talked about that this morning. Our redeemer. The one who purchased us. The one who bought us. The one who paid the price for us. She says, that's who he is. He's our redeemer. And verses 21 through 23, Ruth told Naomi, he says, he told me to be with him till the harvest was ended. And she says, that's good. You stay right there. And verse 23 says, she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwell with her mother-in-law. And we come into chapter 3. So the harvest is over. Now they're getting ready to thrash it. In chapter 3, verse 1, this is Naomi. Her mother-in-law said to Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well for thee? There's that word rest again. It means marriage. So Naomi is telling Ruth, she says, my daughter, shall I not seek marriage for thee, that it may be well with thee? And then she says, is not Boaz kindred? In other words, I'm going to set you up with Boaz. Is not now Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight at the threshing floor. So she says, Boaz, he's up there on that top of that hill on the threshing floor. They're thrashing out the barley. Now she tells Ruth to do about four things. It's the same four things we must do if we're going to have a relationship with our kinsman redeemer. Number one, she says, wash thyself. Wash thyself. Go get yourself cleaned up, Ruth. Go wash yourself. Ye must be born again. What Jesus tells us. In John chapter 3, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We must be born again. We must be baptized. We must be washed. Washed by the Spirit and washed by the water. That's what she told Ruth. Go wash thyself. The second thing she said, and anoint thee. We'll put on some perfume. Smell good. We're anointed. We call it the Holy Spirit. When we commit our lives to God, He pours that Holy Spirit down upon us. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's number two. Number three, she says, put thy raiment upon thee. In other words, Ruth, get rid of them mourning clothes. You know, them clothes that you wear when you're mourning and you've lost your husband. Get rid of them things. You need to put on something nice. You need to put on something pretty. You need to put on something attractive. She says, put thy raiment upon thee. Get rid of these things. Get out of the widow's clothes. What does the Bible tell us? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We need to get rid of them. We need to get out of them. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. What are you clothed with this morning? Is it robes of righteousness and garments of salvation? That's what she told Ruth. She said, put on some good clothes. Get rid of that mourner's widow's clothes. Get rid of that. Number three. He goes on, he says, make not thyself known unto the men till he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he lie down. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell thee what to do. Number four is we need to get down on the floor at the feet of Jesus. So she did. She lay prostrate at the feet of Boaz. Down on the floor, lay prostrate. Where? At his feet. At the cross. We go to the cross when we have confession. We go to the cross when we need repentance. We go to the cross when we need help. We go to the cross for every need that we have. It's at the feet of Jesus. That's where she went. She went and laid down at his feet. There's four things that we must do. We must wash ourselves. We must be anointed. We must put on the garments of salvation and the clothes of righteousness. And lay down at his feet. We'll go on and we'll get to another thing that she did. Verse 5, she told Naomi, she said, all that thou sayest, I will do. And she went down to the floor, verse 6, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and was and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, which had been the barley. There'd been a big pile of barley here in the middle of the thrashing floor, and Boaz laid down with his head by the pile of barley and his feet out back. And she, Ruth, came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down at his feet. Verse 8, and it came to pass at midnight that when the man was afraid and turned himself, that word afraid means startled, he woke up, his feet was uncovered, he looked down, and there was a girl. Now, if that wasn't startled, I don't know what would. But he was startled. What is going on here? And behold, a woman lay at his feet. What's going on here? When I lay down, there was nobody. Now I wake up here at midnight, and my feet are cold because she had taken the cover off of it. And I turn over, and there lays a woman. There lays a girl. And he says, who art thou? Who are you? What did she say? This is her confession. I am Ruth. I am Ruth. She answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. I am Ruth, your slave, your servant. That's what the word handmaid means there. I am Ruth, your servant. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid. In other words, cover me up with you. Cover me up with you. I want to be close to you. Why? For thou art a near kinsman. You are my redeemer. So she's telling him here. I want marriage, is what she's telling him. I want marriage. You are my redeemer. I want marriage. That was her request. She acknowledges and claims her kinsman redeemer. You know, Boaz wanted to be her redeemer. He wanted to be, but he could not until she claimed him. Jesus is the same way. He wants to be our redeemer, but he can't be my redeemer until I claim him. He can't be your redeemer till you claim him. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants us to claim him. He's invited us to come. What does Isaiah say? Isaiah 55. Read a few verses. It's an invitation to all. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. He says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently, or listen to what I have to say. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good. Let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul will live. He says, come unto me. Hear what I'm to say, and you will live. You will have life. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, in verse 6. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous his thought. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you hear it? Are you going to respond? Are you going to open? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The invitation has gone out. Boaz was waiting for that. Jesus is waiting. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. The bride, that's the church. But the invitation is going out. We're giving it right now. Come. Let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty? You remember Boaz provided water and bread. Jesus does the same. He will provide you nourishment. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. Freely. Let him take of the water of life freely. Back into Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. Boaz says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not the young men, whether rich or poor. What he is telling us here is, he says, Ruth, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. All of a sudden, she's his daughter. Are we not sons and daughters? Yes, we are. All of a sudden, she's his daughter. And he says that you have showed more kindness in the latter than at the beginning, as much as thou followest not the young men, but rather rich people. In other words, Ruth, you kept yourself pure. You were with them young men out there in the field day after day after day after day. You're a beautiful woman, but you kept yourself pure. Verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. Fear not. Because Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, I think it says, fear not, and there's five promises that go with it. Go read them. I will do to thee all that thou hast requested. I'm going to do all you requested. I want to be your wife. That was a request. I want marriage. I want closeness. I want a relationship. But I says, no problem. Jesus is the same way. come, come, come. Verse 12, I will do all thou requested for all the city of my people know thou art a virtuous woman. Wow. Saying a lot for a young lady. The whole city knew it. Verse 12, now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, but he says, there's a problem. There's another kinsman that's closer than me. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Verse 13, tarry this not, and it shall be in the morning, that he will perform it unto thee, the part of the kinsman. Well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he do not part of the kinsman to thee, then will do the part. Boaz says, I'll do it. If he don't do it, I'm going to do it. I will do the part. To thee as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And in the morning, she got up and she left before anybody knew her, and he took her veil and he put in 6 measures of barley, and she took it home to Naomi, and she told Naomi all that had happened, all that had done. Then she comes to verse 18, and she said, set still, my daughter, until thou knowest how the night will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished this thing in the morning. What Naomi told Ruth was, there is nothing more you can do. There's nothing more you can do. You have claimed him. You have claimed him. Now, it is Boaz's responsibility to do the work of the Redeemer. That's his responsibility, to do the work of the Redeemer. The work of redemption is his work. The work of redemption is Jesus' work. He did it on the cross for you and I. He went there, he died, he shed his blood on that cross. We can take that blood, we can apply it to our lives, and we can be redeemed. He did it for us. There's nothing we can do. Nothing more to do. He did it once and for all. We go to Hebrews and read several scriptures. We're not going there. We're going to run out of time. And on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. He did the work of redemption. It is finished. Isaiah 53 and 11 says, God seen the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. The work had been done. It is finished. It is over. He did the work of redemption. Let's go into chapter 4. That morning, Boaz went down to the gate. He sat there. Behold, that other kinsman come by. And Boaz says, hey, come over here and you sit down here. So he came over and he sat down. And he grabbed about 10 elders of the city. And he says, hey, come over here. Sit down here. Boaz must have had some authority. And they all listened to him. Sit down here. They all sat down there. And he said in verse 3, he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that has come again out of the country of Moab, has come out of the country of Moab, sell a parcel of land, and which was our brother Imelech's. Now, real quickly, I'm going to go off on a little side trail here. I want to give you 3 Mosaic laws that relate to the kinsman redeemer that they purchased back. One is the law of the land. And I want to go to Leviticus chapter 25 very quick here. Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 23. Now this is what happens. It says, the land shall not be sold forever. This is the Lord speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, talking about the land he's going to give them. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. You are strangers and sojourners. And in all the land of your possessions, ye shall grant redemption for the land. Then he goes on, he says in verse 25, that was verse 23 and 4, if thy brother be waxen poor, and he sells some of his possession, and as he says his kin can come and redeem it or buy it back, then he shall redeem that which his brother has sold. Verse 26, if a man have none to redeem it, he can buy it back himself. He can buy that back himself and let him count the years of the sale until restore the overplus. And verse 28, if you not be able to restore it, he says, when the year of Jubilee comes around, that land will be given back to that family. So that is the redeeming of the land. Now we got the redeeming of individuals here in Leviticus 25. verse 47, says, if a sojourner wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwells by him wax poor, and sell himself. In other words, if this individual needs money, he can sell himself, or he can be a slave to whoever, and to the stranger, the sojourner. And after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. Of one of his brothers may redeem him, or some one of his relations can come back and buy him back from the one he sold himself to. Either an uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. If he is able, he may redeem himself. And then if he's not, when the year of Jubilee comes around, if he's still alive, he can go back to not being a slave again. So that is to the individual. Now we want to look at the widow. Deuteronomy, verse 5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to be wife, and perform the duty of the husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, and his name shall not be put out of Israel. So what he's saying there is, if a man is married to a wife, and that man dies, and that man has a brother, the man who died's wife will become his brother's wife. That makes sense? If a man has a wife, they don't have any children, and he dies, that lady or that woman becomes his brother's wife. Or if he has more than one brother, she can choose. So, if you lived at that time and your brother was getting married, I think you'd be very interested in knowing who he's going to marry. Because if something would happen, she maybe end up being your wife. And some of you said, nah. That's the way it happens. Because the name needs to be carried on. We'll see back here in Ruth in a little bit. The name needs to be carried on. Now, if you refuse to marry that, you can read on down here. She can spit in your face and she can pick your shoe and you can be a disgrace unto the house of Israel. But just a side note here before we get on into this. Okay, so they're all sitting together. Naomi had a parcel of land that was sold, which was Elimelech's. Verse 4, and I thought to advertise thee, but saying, buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people. If thou redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he says, I will redeem it. So who is this kinsman? We're going to say this other kinsman is the law. Okay? Jesus, or God, gave Moses the law there on Mount Sinai. And the law could redeem the land. We just read that. By the law, the land could be redeemed. And so this kinsman said, no problem, I will do that. But then Boaz throws a wrench in the works. Then Boaz says, verse 5, the day that thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead for an inheritance. That's what we read back there in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy. So now there's an individual involved. Okay? The law cannot redeem people. There's no way. The law can point out our sins, but the law cannot redeem. That's why he goes on and he says in verse 6, I cannot redeem. He says it twice. I cannot redeem. Because the law cannot redeem us. We have one redeemer. That is Jesus Christ. Ruth had one redeemer. That was Boaz. And the law cannot redeem. I cannot redeem it. I cannot redeem it. Now I want to give four qualifications of a redeemer, four requirements. Number one, he must be a near kinsman. Chapter 3, verse 13. This is Boaz speaking. And now it is true, I am thy near kinsman, or a close redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. Galatians chapter 4, Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under a law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive adoptions of sons. Because ye are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no more a servant, but a son, and every son than an heir of God through Christ. He must be a near kinsman. Number 2, he must be willing to redeem. Chapter 3, verse 13. Again, that other kinsmen don't do it, I will do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. We go to Hebrews chapter 12. He must be willing to redeem. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was willing to redeem. Number 3, he must be able to redeem. He must be able to redeem. Chapter 2, verse 20. The man is a near kinsman to us, one of our next kinsmen. He was able to redeem. Verse 20. Now, this is in verse 20. We go to Hebrews chapter 7. One who is able to redeem. I think we'll start at verse 24. But this man, this Jesus Christ, because he continueth forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost. That word uttermost means completely. He is able to save us completely. That come, he is, therefore, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There's no other way to be redeemed. It's only by him. Saying he ever liveth to make intercession for us. For such a high priest becometh us, or meets our needs. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. And he goes on. So he must be able to redeem. And the fourth thing, he has to pay the price. He has to pay the price of redemption. Chapter 4, Ruth, verse 9. Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day, I have bought all. That was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and Mahon's, at the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance, what we read back in Deuteronomy. Must pay the price of redemption. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he says, Forasmuch as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold. You can't buy your redemption from the vain conversation of the traditions of your fathers. Your father can't save you, your mother can't save you, your uncle, your aunt. There's only one way. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So they paid, you must pay the price of redemption. And then Ruth became part of the family. And we can be part of the family also. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. He has made us accepted in the beloved. We become part of the family. Because he has paid the price of redemption. They go on and they celebrate. Verse 13, Boaz takes Ruth as his wife. They have a child. His name is Obed, father of Jesse, the father of David, in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So as we sit down, we just ask you a couple questions. First question is, have you claimed Jesus Christ as your kinsman redeemer? Have you done that? Have you claimed him? He's waiting for you to claim him. Question number 2. Jesus is coming again. You know, we're one day closer to his return. He's coming again. Where will he find you? Where will he find you? Will he find you in the house of bread and praise?